We are now moving to a new program of Microsoft, Windows 8 Accessibility. Now, unlike your speaker this morning, I urge you to be polite about this. Whether you like it or you don't, I don't care about that. You can express your dislike if you want to, but politeness is required here, and I require it of you. The person to present this is Rob Sinclair. He's the Director of Accessibility and Chief Accessibility Strategist for Microsoft. And he has been working on accessibility for many years, so it's good to have him back with us. All the things that have been done in the name of Microsoft are not chargeable to him, but many of the tasks that do bring accessibility to programs at Microsoft are a result of his work. So I welcome, for his presentation, Rob Sinclair.
Thank you, Dr. Rao. It's really nice to be here. Appreciate
you back.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rao, and thank you, everyone, especially for that warm welcome around Windows 8. So hopefully I will share some good news with you today. But I did want to say thank you. It's really great to be back here again. I actually am from Texas, although I've apparently shed some of my accent. So I'll try to throw in a couple of y'alls, though, just to make me feel at home. Great. So I did want to talk a little bit today about not only Windows 8, but also how we have been redesigning and rethinking our approach at Microsoft, and to share with you where we're really trying to go. So you have a sense for how the investments you're about to hear about in Windows 8 fit into our longer picture. And so hopefully that will also help you understand where we're trying to go so that when I ask you at the end to really start giving us even more customer feedback than you have been, maybe you'll have a better context in which to do that. So with all of that, what I really am here to say is that our vision at Microsoft for accessibility is not only focused on people with disabilities. It is about changing the way people in general interact with technology. And accessibility is a huge part of that. So what I mean is that today, how many people here feel like they continually adapt themselves to the technology around them? A few people, yeah. That's right, so do I. I actually don't think that's the right solution. I believe technology has the ability, I mean, we just heard about it's actually pretty hard to follow you, Mark, but thank you for setting me up for all the astronaut thing and autonomous cars. I'm going to talk a little bit, I'm going to bring it back down to earth for us a little bit, and talk about how we're trying to start to lay some of those foundational elements to create a lot of that much, much more powerful technology in the future. And so what I mean by that is technology today is fairly rudimentary. Most of us go and we actually have to manually configure the devices, tell them exactly what we want, and really interact with them in a very, very basic way. Accessibility and assistive technologies and a lot of the incredible innovations that exist and have been created specific for accessibility have a much broader application. And so what we're really looking at is how do we start to rethink the way everyone interacts with technology. And in particular, then, how do we ensure that those are inherently more accessible for people with a disability, but also for everyone else? So, for example, I had this great story. I was at CSUN several years ago, and it was in a very, very, on a very hot day, and the power went out in the elevator. And, you know, there were a couple of us that are photon dependent. And then the rest of the, you know, the people in the elevator were completely comfortable navigating in the dark. And the person next to me was new to Microsoft, and he kind of freaked out a little bit. He's like, oh, what do we do? I mean, the power's out. And I think it was Curtis Chong that was in the elevator, and he said, don't worry, you poor, you know, guy who, don't worry, you're in good hands. We can help you navigate. So we got out of the elevator, right? We're navigating down the halls, it's completely dark, and it was this really funny moment because this young guy looks to me and he says, "Wow, this is really cool." He said, they're navigating, they're like walking us right through the halls, and this is great. He had been at Microsoft about 2 days, I think it's his first week. But it's this really great moment, right, where you think about a different perspective on life. And many people have this very skewed and perspective of accessibility, and they don't actually understand what accessibility is about. I travel quite a lot. I speak with businesses and governments around the world, and still today there are so many people that I have to explain to them that, yes, a blind person can actually use a PC. It's great, but it's also really sad. In 2012, we still have to explain that to people. So one of the cornerstones of the work that I'm doing in my role at Microsoft is to think of how do we get past this misunderstanding and really start to change perspectives in general, not only in the technology field, but in businesses and governments and educators. And that's obviously a very large task. And if we have time at the end, I'll actually spend a couple of minutes talking about what we're trying to do there. But is around maturing accessibility into a real profession around the world with international recognition so that we would have businesses, curricula in universities, in high schools and junior highs, trade schools, everywhere around the world, we would have people that are much, much better educated about accessibility. So I'll talk about that later if we have some time. But I want to come back to technology. So one of the things we're doing in pursuit of this vision is we've taken a hard look at where we have been as a company. Most people here are probably familiar with the work we've done on Windows and Office. Some people know about the work we've done on IE. But beyond that, we as a company have this reputation of not really doing much more for accessibility. And in fact, we've been doing quite a lot more. But what I wanted to talk about here is what that really means. So we have Windows, of course, and PCs, and we have smartphones, we have the Xbox console, we have a huge investment we're making in cloud computing. How many people have even heard of cloud computing? Hey, excellent. See, I love you because you're such a well-informed audience. I can use these phrases and you know what I'm saying. So the point of all of this so far is that for us, your experience using technology should start to become seamless. Whether you're using a PC or a smartphone or a gaming console or an entertainment, a TV system that's web connected, even if you're using computerized appliances and kiosks, this technology should start to become intelligent enough to begin to adapt to you and to me and to anyone else so that we don't have to continually serve the technology. The technology should start to become more intelligent for us. And I believe accessibility has a lot of very unique innovations that can help us do that as an industry. So at Microsoft, we have started with Windows 8 and we've rethought our accessibility model. And what we're going for is a consistent approach to accessibility across Windows, the phone, the Xbox, and the cloud. So what you're gonna see this year is Windows 8. And in Windows 8, we've completely redesigned Narrator, our screen reader, from the ground up. And much of this is thanks to you, because of your feedback. We've had, I think Ann Taylor has been on campus, on Microsoft campus, 3 or 4 times in the last year and a half. So thank you, Ann, and other people who've been coming out. So we've had some dedicated sessions around phone and Windows and Office. But the point here is that you all have given us a lot of really important feedback. In fact, NFB, Dr. Maurer, thank you very much for the letter you wrote, I believe it was 2 years ago, explaining to Steven Sinofsky, the president of Windows, what kinds of investments you would like to see around screen reading. So today, the Narrator that we have in Windows 8 is completely redone. It is a good first screen reader, I believe. You will, for plenty of deep scenarios and legacy applications, we continue to work very closely with Freedom Scientific, GW Micro, NVDA, all the AT vendors, AI Squared, et cetera, because we still believe there is a place for a rich ecosystem that can provide real depth of functionality and breadth of features across the thousands and ten thousands of applications on Windows. However, our goal is that you can go into a Windows store, buy a Windows 8 PC, can turn on Narrator and start having an interesting, having a useful experience with that. So that is a very different solution, I think, than we've had in the past. And what that has taken, as you know, anyone here using a touch device?
Yeah.
Right. I had fruit salad for breakfast. So obviously the touch revolution is here. So the new Narrator is not only full keyboard accessible, it is also has a full touch experience. So you can go out and buy a Windows 8 Slate and use Narrator with that Slate device. And so there's a few things we've done. Windows team has done a really nice job of releasing early releases of Windows 8 that consumers have been able to play with. So one was the consumer preview. That was the one we showed at CSUN. Anyone here see the Windows 8 accessibility demo at CSUN? Great. So, thank you for all of you who were there, because we had good feedback at the event and after the event. And the team has made quite a number of changes since that time. But I wanted to list off a couple of these specific changes because they were a direct result of customer feedback. One is that we have, of course, the full keyboard and touch support that we had. But some of the gestures were fairly complicated to use. Some of them required four fingers. And now many of those only require two fingers. Many of the ones that did require two fingers to swipe across the screen only require one finger now. And much of that navigation was very complicated and has been greatly simplified thanks to the feedback you provided. So I wanted to thank you for that. If anyone here is adventurous and would like to install the release candidate that's available now, the Windows team would still love to get more feedback from you on that. So they've also added notifications, some new cues when you're navigating to let you know what you've gone over. So for example, the live tiles, have people heard about Metro and Microsoft's new live tile interface? Okay, so the idea, if you haven't, is there are tiles that you could think of them almost like an icon. They're usually rectangular, but the content on them is live and dynamic. So if it's the tile for your email application, it will show the number of unread messages you have, and it will actually preview the heading and the person who sent that mail, and it will cycle through your unread ones. So it's more than just an icon. On the home screen for Windows 8, for example, if you were dragging your finger across, you would hear Narrator announce, the Windows Mail application, four unread messages, and then it might read the first one, $1 million offer, act now, right? But if you moved your finger too quickly across the screen, you might miss some items. You might miss a tile altogether and just not realize it. So what they've done is they've added little click noises every time you go across an item. So if you went across one and didn't realize it, you would hear the extra clicks. So I know it's a very detailed example, but that's the kind of feedback that we heard back from you and have started to integrate it into that. So we're really hoping that Windows 8 Narrator will provide a nice out-of-box experience for everyone here. You'll find that useful whether at work or at home. And hopefully that gives you a sense for where we might be heading on our other platforms as well over the next couple of years. So with that, I wanted to move on a little bit, and I wanted to talk more broadly about how we're making some of these changes, because I think it might be helpful for you. So first is we have an internal accessibility standard that we've completely rewritten to take into account some of the new changes in the CVAA. I know that was discussed earlier today, so that Communications and Video Act. We've rolled that out to all of our engineers. We have a mandatory practice now for all of our products and services that they must do accessibility. And so I think that is something that it has not been emphasized in that way in the past, but Microsoft's senior leadership team fully understands the importance of this, so they've endorsed that. So I think that's a really nice change when you look at the scale of Microsoft's offerings. So what that means is the new generation of products that you'll start to see coming out that are beginning this year, you'll start to see a difference there. The other thing we're doing is we are investing in better customer support. Good, thank you. I have to admit, a few years ago, I had a phone call from someone who said, I just talked to your support engineers, and I had to explain to them what a screen reader was. At which point I said, wow, that's not exactly ideal. So it's nice. So we're really taking some significant steps, not just in the products and technologies we build, but also in the way we build them, the way we support you as customers. And at the same time we launch Windows 8 later this year, we'll also be launching a new customer support channel. So you will have an easier way to give us direct feedback on a product that will be much easier for you, and it will go straight to that team. So we're doing that. We're starting to get more active on Twitter and Facebook and the social media so that we can hear from you more often. So I would encourage all of you to keep the feedback coming. It's been really valuable for us for Windows 8, and we look forward to that in our other products as well. So with that, I believe I am about out of time. I did want to talk a little bit about that professional society. So I'll just leave you with this thought. As I've gone around the world and spoken with governments, developers, individuals like yourselves, and business leaders, the one common thread I've heard is even when we want to do accessibility, we don't understand how to do it in the right way. Some of these companies have tried. They've launched a product and immediately been criticized because that product was not actually accessible. So their question to me is, how do you find people who are qualified to do accessibility? And that's actually a very difficult answer today because there's no formal education, that there's no accessibility-specific curriculum that is internationally recognized that an engineer or a designer or a business leader could go take. So one of the things we're doing with this idea of creating a professional society is to focus on education, educating the world based on accessibility, and establishing some clear curriculum. So it's just a teaser for you. You'll hear more about that from us in the future. But I do thank you so much for your time and the invitation to be here. And please try Windows 8.
Thank you, Dr. Allen.
And Rob, you have given Ann information so that we can get in complaints and comments to you as needed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Ann Taylor, if people have things they want to say about Windows 8, please see that they find a way to get to Rob, if you would. Thank you very much for being with us. It's good to know that there's more accessibility in the works coming soon, and I'd like to try it myself.